Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
I'm Tank Sinatra.
And I'm Investigator Slater.
And together we co-host a podcast called Psychopedia, which is a true crime podcast infused with comedy, making it a crimedy. Each week, Investigator Slater brings us a wild and thoroughly researched true crime case. I'm here to digest it all and react just like you probably are, right there on the other side of the microphone.
Somehow, I've got to present each case with the detail and respect it deserves, while also cracking up at Tank's perfectly timed humor and thought-provoking questions.
Listen to and follow Psychopedia on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, hour number two on a Misery Monday. We go right back to the phones at 301-230-0980. Ask you to make your comments as quickly as you possibly can so we can get in as many voices as we can. Let's do it with our guy, Sanchez, who I know is a little salty on this Monday. What up, Sanchez? How are you?
My blood pressure's up. Brewster.
I know.
This don't make no sense. This is... Looked unprepared, looked disgusted. I mean, the biggest thing that got upset with me was that we heard these excuses all week about we needed some rest, we needed some rest, we had to do this, we had to do that, but we're going to be ready for Dallas. What happened? They didn't come out ready. Chris, they did not come out ready. They looked like an anorexic getting ready for a buffet line at Golden Corral. They just weren't ready. And I had my wife clown me, my pastor clown me. I almost lost my job.
Oh, that's right. I forgot your wife is a Cowboys fan. So
yes.
What you're saying is, I mean, I saw some lovely pictures over the weekend on, I think, your Instagram or something like that. And I wasn't stalking you of, you know, you and your son and your wife and every happy.
Mm-hmm.
And then I forgot she's a Cowboys fan.
Yes. I know. It just got it. She clowned me. My pastor clowned me. My boss did. I almost lost my job. I had to, like, take 5 minutes away from him because she was there. This is despicable. We've lost to the three worst fan bases in a row with them bum Steelers, the Eagles, and now these Cowboys, and they had nothing to play for. And people that say the rivalry's dead, I've been one of them. Yeah, the rivalry's still alive. I don't care because these people got up for this game. But they fell asleep. We fell asleep at the wall, and I think that everybody is upset because we have been emotionally charged. We got a sugar high, and now we'll come back down to earth because everything's normalizing again. That's not a reason to panic. But my thing is, I said all the time, one game at a time. Everybody's talking about the playoffs. Everybody's talking about this is a trap game. We're not good enough to call this a trap game and look to the playoffs. We need to be about winning one game at a time. And everybody started looking forward. Everybody in Ashburn did, and that's what happened to them. And it's going to keep on happening, and it'll happen against Tennessee if we don't get this stuff right. Get your act together, all y'all. Dan Quinn, he needs to get pissed off. He needs to get pissed off. I need him to stop looking like the Armor All Man or whatever it is, Mr. Clean, and just get mad. I need him just to get pissed off at these guys. But, Rooster, I'm not going to take up anybody else's time. I love you, brother. I love you over Grant. I love you over JP. You do the thing. You're the man of the people. I appreciate you and Matty Ice. I'll talk to you.
Thank you, Sanchez. Happy Thanksgiving to you and the fam. I appreciate it. I mean, listen, it's a competition, but it's not necessarily. Although, anytime somebody wants to say that I'm really good at what I do, I'll take it.
They did not come out ready. They look like an anorexic getting ready for a buffet line at Golden Corral. They just weren't ready.
I mean,
that's an all-time line on this show.
I don't want to make fun of anybody, but that did make me laugh. Speaking of Golden Corral, if I could have gotten out of bed yesterday morning, I was supposed to meet a friend of mine, two friends of mine, that were in town from Chicago, and they couldn't make it because they had a late night Saturday. But we were going to go to the Golden Corral right by the stadium. I was looking forward to it. Oh, I love Golden Corral. Not good for the old diet, but, or, you know, whatever I'm doing. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. Let's get to, let's see here. Why don't we get to Hamza? What's up, Hamza? How are you? Am I saying that right?
Hamza, yeah.
Hamza, okay.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, gotcha. Yeah. Well, welcome aboard.
Cool. So I just comment. There was a guy a couple of calls ago that was talking about, you know, the leadership. Mm-hmm. And I kind of agree with him as far as, like him, as well as Jaden being injured, because I forgot who had him on. He had somebody on, like, a UFC fighter, and they were talking about how that, like, a rib injury really mm-hmm. takes, like, mm-hmm. 6-7 months to really heal.
Yep.
So, like,
we had a jiu-jitsu instructor the week that he actually was injured, like after that Carolina game, before the Chicago game, that said, you know, if it's rib cartilage, it could be like 14, 15, 16 weeks before it's totally healed. So, yes, I mean, if we're using that extrapolation, sure. I mean, he could be a little tender or a little, maybe it barks occasionally at him, and he was asked about the heat wrap and all that stuff. But I don't know, man. I was looking for it. Like, it was not a good passing day for 3.5 quarters, but I didn't see him. I saw him taking off a little bit too early, in my opinion. I didn't see him fading away as much as we had seen against Pittsburgh and Philadelphia. And I certainly saw more of the Jaden as a playmaker and as a play accelerator with his legs than we had seen in the previous couple of weeks.
And then just another thing, like, is the hype still there? Like, because let's be real, anyone can really throw a Hail Mary. Mm-hmm. We can, if you have an arm. So is the hype really still there regarding Jaden O'Daniels? I'll let you guys go. And the last thing I want to say is Black Lives Matter and Free Palestine.
All
Thank
right.
you.
Let's try, as best we can, to not make political statements, okay? I got it. I don't want to censor anybody, but, you know, we got to try and keep it to sports, okay? So, I will say this. Listen, they should be 6-6. I could make an argument that they could be 5-7, right? I mean, they won a game without scoring a touchdown in week two that they should have lost. Ironically, the Austin Seibert debut, because of the Giants' place-kicking situation with Graham Gano getting hurt on the first play of the game when he was already hurt coming in. So we could play the woulda, coulda, shoulda game all along. Bottom line is they're 7-5. And again, maybe a younger me would be completely gloom and doom, but they are 7-5. Now, that being said, what has happened here is they have basically used up all of their free passes, if you will, right? Their lifelines. Now it's time to strap on your pants and play big boy football again. And that starts against a tough physical defensive team with an erratic but talented quarterback in Will Levis this Sunday. This is not going to be easy. Probably going to be of the 17-14 variety. 20 to 17, somewhere in that range. Not going to be easy. You might not have B-Rob or Eckler, maybe both. Who knows? We'll see about Wiley. But the bottom line is, you've used up all of your free passes. There is no more if you want to make the playoffs. Not that it's a must win, but it's, you know, it's fairly close to a must win. You lose four in a row and drop to 7-6. Again, you can recover from that, but who's to say you are going to? New Orleans is getting better, not worse. Philadelphia is getting way better. Atlanta is still muckety-muck. And Dallas just proved yesterday that they're capable of beating you even when their season's largely over. All right, let's get back to it. 301-230-0980. Let's say hello to, let's go to Steve in Columbia here. What's up, Steve? How are you?
Hey, how you doing? It's been
all
a
right,
minute.
Steve. Okay,
a couple of things. The first thing is I didn't understand why we would be kicking off to that guy, the kick returner on Dallas, because, you know, he has elite speed and he's been known to be one of the best kickers in the league.
Let's work through that, okay? So yesterday, just while you're asking, because I think it's a good point. So yesterday, here's how I would answer it, right? They had, on the kick returns, they had five total kick returns, right? One of them that Turpin fielded was kind of near the sideline, would have gone out of bounds, would have been, I think, ball at the 40. If he let it go, he chose to return it, what have you. This one, the one that he returns for the 99-yarder, yes, I understand why kick it to him. Why kick it to a guy with that speed? To me, the decision was not that they decided to kick it to him. It's that they totally butchered the play. I mean, Jeremy Reeves missed at the 5-yard line, 7-yard line, whatever it was. Rookie Jordan McGee was right there, took a little bit of a bad angle, and boom, it was over. After the muff, after the spin, I mean, it wasn't, again, oh, why kick it? I get the question and that it makes sense. They butchered the play. Of course that can happen on any play, but you got to play. You know what I'm saying? And here's the other thing, and this is, I think, the bigger part of the question. Austin Seibert, I'm going to have to double check if he had any touchbacks yesterday. I don't think he did, but I have to double check that. Can he consistently get it into the end zone for just a simple touchback? And also, was he compromised in any way off the injury? Remember, he had missed the previous two games.
Right. Okay, I'm glad you said that, because that's my other point, among two other points, including that. I don't know why they rushed the kicker back. Now, I'm not a doctor. I don't know what's going on, but I would have probably kept the other kid in because he was doing pretty well and just waited a little bit longer. And the other thing is, lack of pass rush pressure throughout the game. That guy, Cooper Rush, just stood back there for the most part. You can't do that to an NFL quarterback, even if they may not be that good. He had way too much time. And then also, not stopping the run. I know a lot of people like to get on Deron Payne. Deron Payne was double-teamed a lot most of the game.
He was,
So who's supposed to step up? Is it those linebackers?
Yeah.
Although Luvu played great. Well, someone needs to step up.
Luvu had the three passes defended, but to your point, you didn't feel his presence in the backfield constantly, right? And just to give you an example, they had the one sack, right? But they had, let me see here, just two quarterback hits. Payne had one of them, I'm trying to find the other one. It was Farrell. That's just not enough, to your point, with a rookie left tackle, a right tackle that was a turnstile coming in, missing both starting guards and a rookie center. Not enough. I mean, I think the defense, which I have advocated and defended for, is getting a little bit of a break here because of how bad the special teams were. Good call, Steve. Appreciate you. As always, let's go to Alex and Alexandria next up. Alex.
What's going on, Russ?
What's up, Alex?
Terrible, man. Disappointed, but I called it. Remember, I said it on Friday. Don't take anybody these games lightly, especially divisional games. But I didn't expect it to see a performance like that. I knew we were in trouble from the first quarter. when they had opportunities to be up by 21 plus yep. points.
Yep. They were driving the ball at, I don't want to say at will, but they would bog down, and some of that was created by the Commanders, some of that was created by their own mistakes, and then they would miss the field goal or a block punt or whatever it was. I mean, but they moved the football all game long.
Well, and Dallas gave it to them too at the 45-yard line, 50 yep. yard. The Skins average possession in the first quarter alone, it was their 45 or their 45 of yep. the Cowboys, and yep. we came out with nothing.
Yep.
And another thing that I don't understand about Kingsbury and anybody can so in love with this dude, on the second quarter, we have third down and two, and he chooses to throw a damn ball, whatever, 12 yards. To Brown, who he has stone hands. You know, I mean, really, this guy drops way too many balls. Mm-hmm. But why not run the football there? Now we end up settling for a field goal.
Yeah, trying to find that situation here.
When you start playing conservative like that, and explain to me what the hell was the on Eckler when he got hurt. With 9 seconds left on the clock, what is he doing returning the kickoff?
Well,
just stay there, man. And the other one is, when he was down
he's
for
trying
a while,
to make a play.
With 9 seconds left, what's he going to do? Look what happened to him.
No,
the game is over.
That's fair. That's fair.
Over. And then when they when he's down for like 5 minutes because he was knocked out. Quinn goes to Jaden and, let's throw another miracle Hail Mary pass or whatever he whispered to him because that's what they went for. What for? You lost the game. 9 seconds. Even if you completed another miracle,
yeah, but Alex, here's the problem with everything that you just said. You're operating like the game had like was not a one score game. It was an 8 point game. They needed a touchdown and a 2-point conversion, but you're acting like it was an 18-point game, not an 8-point game. That's the problem right there. I mean, I understand it was unlikely, and I appreciate the phone call. I understand it was unlikely, but it was an 8-point game. You got to try. I mean, we'd be killing Dan Quinn and Jaden Daniels if they just gave up and took a knee and didn't try because they didn't want to get hurt, or Austin Eckler. I mean, again, you could make an argument. There was so much going on. You can make an argument that, that on the final kickoff return, that Eckler, he returns it 38 yards to the Washington 36, right? It's at the -2, according to the official play-by-play chart. I'll take that for its word. I didn't exactly measure it. I mean, that's a returnable kick. I got it. I got that it takes some time. I understand that. But, you're trying to make a play. You've just seen the opponent score 2 touchdowns on kickoff returns. You're trying to pop one yourself, and he damn near almost did. And then he got popped. 301-230-0980. More of your calls coming up. 220 on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. Stay with us. All right, on a Motown Monday. Normally, this song makes you feel good. Not a lot to feel good about on this pre-Thanksgiving Monday. Dan Snyder once wished everybody a happy Thanksgiving on January the 2nd. In all seriousness, happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Those of you, a lot of you are taking the week off. Good for you. We'll be here Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday of this week. We'll take Thursday and Friday off to recharge. The Detroit-Chicago game should be pretty fun. The Green Bay-Miami game at night should be fun. The Giants and the Cowboys, 4:30. I mean, maybe it'll turn out to be an entertaining game, but on paper, yuck. Even though the Cowboys played, as wild of a game as you can, and reasonably well. The Giants are just abysmal. And watch, they'll probably win by 17 on Thursday. I don't know, man. Jay Gruden will join us at 3 o'clock. Right back to the calls we go. 301-230-0980. Let's keep the line moving and go to Jason and Laurel. What's up, Jason?
Hey, Rooster. Thanks for taking my call.
How are you, pal?
I could be doing better. Yesterday sucked, but I think as a collective whole, we all got to take a deep breath. This team won 4 games last year. We almost doubled it. Look how many people we turned over on the roster. Mm-hmm. And let's be honest with ourselves for a second. 3 years from today, right now, who is still on this roster? The bottom line is we won some early games because of Jaden Daniels. But this team does not have enough talent to stay with these heavyweights. And there have been people who have been saying they weren't prepared. They came out to play yesterday. They had some early plays on defense, early plays on special teams. Mm-hmm. You know, obviously when Jaden has some pressure, he can pull magic out of the hat. But from top to bottom, we're not a great team. We have a great player. And I do think there's things to look hopeful for. But, I mean, this was a 4-team roster last year.
Well, I think to your point, just to jump in with you, because I think it's a good point, right? And I think reasonable people have said they overachieved to get to 7-2. They did, flat out. Absolutely. They overachieved. And, you know, like we were talking about, you know, in the fourth quarter, the scoring disparity that Athan brought up, it's like 46 points or whatever the number is that I gave. That is a classic telltale sign of a lack of either an assassin that steps up when teams need it the most, whether it be offense or defense. And obviously they have had some big offensive plays, Terry yesterday, Jaden, what have you. But a lack of an assassin or, and this is what I think it really is, a lack of depth, especially as the season has gone along, especially as some injuries have kicked in, especially late in a game when you need somebody to make a big play or when you need to stop the bleeding somehow, some way. I don't know if they quite have that guy yet.
Well, they definitely need help. They need a couple more guys on defense, absolutely. And, you know, the offense, we probably need a running back and at least one or maybe another wide receiver. Mm-hmm. You know, there were all kinds of questions going into this season. The offensive line was a pleasant surprise, but they're beat up. But our defense was bad last year, and we have some flashy pieces, but they're still not great. You know, but I think, again, with Jaden, you know, anything's a possibility. I think everybody needs to lift their spirits up. I do think the coaching staff's great. But, again, 3 years from today, how many of these guys are even still on this team?
Yeah.
We're not there yet, guys.
I mean, a lot of key contributors. Yeah, no problem. Happy Thanksgiving, pal. Appreciate you. A lot of key contributors this year, Zach Ertz, Bobby Wagner, guys like that. Maybe even Jeremy Chinn. Who knows? Maybe even Deron Payne. I know everybody doesn't like Deron Payne. I got it. Dante Fowler, like, and by the way, like, where was Dante Fowler yesterday? I didn't see him much. Saw him a couple of times, but I didn't see him much. They only had the one sack, and that was by Payne. I don't even remember that. I mean, there's so many things that happened yesterday. I don't even remember when that play happened. We'll have an injury update for you coming up in just a couple of moments on the Ravens-Chargers game. On Monday Night Football, which wraps up the NFL week. Let's get to Little next up. What up, Little? How are you?
Rooster, shout out to Ice.
What's going on?
Man, you know, my sister-in-law went to the game yesterday. I went over 5 and King Street. It's nice over there, man. In Alexandria, Virginia. That 5 there. Some nice horses over there, too, Rooster. Well, I look at it, man. I was telling
Little,
Ice,
are you trying to get me to take in the scenery in Washington, D.C. and Northern Virginia?
No, that's nice. So, Alexandria.
No, I know. I said Northern Virginia. I mean, I don't have enough time to, you know, scratch my head. Never mind. Well, go sightseeing.
I was watching the game over there. Nice,
I hear you.
Nice atmosphere.
I hear you.
But man, let me say this though, man. You just said something that made me, you know, I look back at the game and I look back at how the game was coached. You know, I blame Adam Peters for pulling the kicker Well, our kicker can't kick nothing outside of 50 yards. He missed a 51 yard. He didn't make that field goal.
Well, yeah, but he made a 50. But he, well, we're going to get to that on the other side. But he made a 51 yarder.
51.
No, but right. Oh, but he also, but he also made a 51 yarder right before, you know, late in the fourth quarter.
He missed.
No. You're right. He badly missed a 51 yarder earlier in the game. But then he made a 51 yarder right before the McLaurin touchdown.
Right, he barely made it, too. Yeah. So, you know, to that aspect of the game, he can't kick out of the end zone.
Mm-hmm.
Man, Jerry Jones dig deep in his pockets, the way I look at it, man. I don't like to call people out, man. I think Dan Quinn need to get a little killer instinct. I think right now I'm going to call him Pillsbury Doughboy, man.
He
don't have that killer instinct. I mean, all the players love him, and that's not enough derogatory calling him that, Rooster. I'm just saying, man, your players take on your attitude. If you got that demeanor, where you don't have that killer instinct, man, you know what I'm saying? The players take on it.
I hear you on that. Here's the problem. Here's the problem, and I appreciate the phone call. Here's the problem. Like, I get that we all want intense coaches. Guys, like, with today's super soft society, and I honestly believe today's mentally soft players, in a lot of cases, they don't know what he wants. Tables turned over. Nobody wants somebody yelling and screaming in their face and trying to motivate them that way. You know, some people make fun of Dan Quinn because of the backwards hat and whatever. Some people want him to be a little, like, we went through this with Ron Rivera. Oh, he folds his arms. Well, Dan Quinn doesn't fold his arms. You know, players have to play. Players have to execute. Players have to execute. When we return on the other side, we'll grab more of your calls, and we're also going to go into like the two-point conversion or the not two-point conversion, and there was another interesting decision that we just kind of brought up in an indirect sort of way with Little's call. We'll do all that next on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app right after a trending alert right here, right now. All right, Monday Night Football ends up the week right here tonight at SoFi Stadium. Last night, it was the Eagles running away from the Rams with Saquon Barkley. Tonight, it's the Harbaugh Bowl. It's Jim and John. The Baltimore Ravens, 7-4. The L.A. Chargers, 7-3. Now, the injury news that we just told you about, according to Adam Schefter, Roquan Smith, all-pro linebacker, who is listed as questionable with a hamstring, is unlikely to play. He is unlikely to play tonight for the Baltimore Ravens. Derrick Henry has scored a touchdown in every game that the Ravens have played this year. Meanwhile, because there's no radio coverage of that game right here on the Team 980, an early start for Michigan and Virginia Tech with pregame coverage at 5:30, the tip right around 6 o'clock for Michigan and the Hokies. And over on 106.7 The Fan, you'll have the Capitals and the Stanley Cup champion Florida Panthers. The Caps have done pretty well on the road for themselves so far this year, and but they have lost the last two in a row since Alex Ovechkin has gone out. Of course, the last time they were on the road, they swept a three-game Western swing, Colorado, Vegas, and Utah. And that's what's trending.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Ah, the Jackson 5 always puts you in a better mood, huh? even on a Misery Monday. A Misery Motown Monday on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. Yeah, man. So, listen, we haven't done a lot on this because I really don't have any issue with the decision that Dan Quinn made. Like, I totally get. Go for the extra point. Extend the game. You've got momentum. You've scored two touchdowns in 2.5 minutes, right? You're finally cooking. You're the better team. You're the rested team. You're at home. They played on Monday night. They traveled. I get that your place kicker has stunk today. I get it. For that reason, I guess I found myself in hindsight more willing to accept if they had gone for it and gone for the two-point conversion because he missed the 51-yarder, because he missed the extra pointer early in the third quarter, because he's coming off the injury. He hasn't, at that point, flubbed the onside kick for the second kickoff return yet. He hasn't obviously missed the second extra point yet, but he had just made a 51-yard field goal that you asked him to make to try and get you back to within one score from down 10 to down 7. Just kicked it. Just made it. So, and I understand Jaden Daniels had the two-point conversion, again, on the carry right, student body right, whatever you want to call it. I got it. For that reason, I would have been more willing to accept, understand if Dan Quinn wanted to go for two because of all of that. But I got to be honest with you. I'm not one of these I think everybody knows this. I'm not one of these number nerds. I'm not one of the analytics amigos. I'm not, you know, go for it and, go for broke and bust all in one shot. Because, again, the one play, right, we're in this spot, and we've seen plenty of teams do it, the one play, yes, like, just common sense-wise, is probably about a 50-50 make or break, right? And you lose the game if you don't make it. You lose the game, okay? But if you make it, Matt, you, yes, take the lead. The game ain't over, one, so you can still lose. But here's why it's not a true 50-50, okay? Because even if you say it is, and again, I don't know what all the two-point conversion numbers are and whatever. I don't care. Even if you say it's a 50-50 chance that you're going to make the two-point conversion, that's better than going into overtime like all the Brendan Dorinomics. Here's the problem. We've seen way too many times. They miss calls. Bad officiating. A bad snap, a bad execution. The wide receiver slips and falls. There's a blown defensive pass interference, a blown face mask, a blown whatever the case. So it's not really a 50-50. You disagree.
I very much so disagree. Because
tell me where I'm wrong.
So where you're wrong is the fact that at 1 minute, 40 seconds left in the fourth quarter. Uh-huh. That's when Siebert hit the field goal.
Right.
When
51-yarder, right.
51-yarder.
Mm-hmm.
We had 21 seconds left when McLaurin got his touchdown. So there's correct. 21 seconds left in the game. You just, in the last minute, 20 seconds, completely stopped them on defense and then rolled on their defense 82 yards on a crazy play. You have them out of position. You have them second-guessing themselves. And so what do? You don't shove it down their throats. There's 21 seconds left. My thought is, if you go for it and go for the kill and miss it, I'm going to be upset, but I'm going to be happy that you tried. Because with how this offense was playing the entire game up until the last, 5 minutes, they were not going to. The best that we were realistically going to do in that overtime period was go maybe one first down and then end up having to punt it because there was no middle of the middle of the field for us yesterday was awful. We were abysmal in the middle of the field. We could not, it kept on being a pass and then pass, first down, run, pass, drop, pass, mm-hmm. punt.
It hurts when you lose your starting running back essentially for the whole game on the first play.
It does, and I don't want to diminish that.
Right.
But when you have offensive presence right at the end of the game, you are wearing down their defense.
When you're hot and when you have momentum is
your point. Their defense just got worn down because you just ran down their throats. What do you do? You finish the job.
Okay, but you...
And then you don't have to do an onside
punt. What would
you
say the percentages are... And again, I don't know what, and I don't care because every situation is different. So anybody that's going to shove analytics down my throat and say, you know, teams converted a clip of 48%, whatever, I don't care because every situation is different. Just because teams do it at a 48% clip or whatever the number is, doesn't mean that that's going to be the exact scenario that plays out. But let's just use 50-50 as a... Like, it's a 50-50 coin flip, right? How you pick your games, right? Okay, so you just grant me that, right?
I'll give you that.
If we agree, 50-50, okay. So you don't buy that, again, all of the situations that I mentioned that could go horribly wrong, bad snap, bad execution, slip and fall, bad blown call, bad miss, whatever. You don't buy that lowers then the two-point conversion makeability versus a 35-yard extra point, which is considered still...
It is
not a chip shot, but it is still considered a very makeable kick.
It is hilarious to me that you're even asking that question and specifically bringing up bad snaps, because what happened?
A bad snap.
So,
but Tressway got it down.
You're going to have people that
can... The snap and the hold was not the issue.
Well, but... You would assume that if he saw it was a bad snap, maybe he took a half step, and that's why he didn't get the right angle, because it seemed like he hit it with his ankle. You don't kick. He hit it.
It looked
poorly.
If your foot is your hand, right?
Yeah.
It looked like he hit it with not the heel, not the toes, but he like angled
in
and he hit it like with the fat part of his hand, or in the fat part of his foot, if you will.
It was. I think that he had a bad run-up because of the fact that he saw it was a bad snap.
I mean, that
and he tried
be.
To save it.
But he was given the opportunity, obviously, to say that and say that the timing was off. Now, maybe he didn't want to throw his teammates under the bus.
I
don't know.
But kicker is a solitary position. Right. In the end, you either make it or you don't. Yes, there are circumstances, but in my mind, you're saying, 50-50 because things can go wrong. Well...
Less than 50-50 because I got to depend on the officials not to blow a call. I got to depend on everything, on my operation being right and luck being on my side.
There were two missed extra point attempts.
Right.
So we're looking at going into that 0-for-1.
Right, correct.
We're going into a 1-0 for 2-point attempts.
Correct.
But
he had also just made a 51-yard field goal, which is the same operation, only 16 yards further.
Yeah. I would just say that in that situation, given what's on stake and given what the two sides of that, how effective they have been, either in red zone, because the moment we were in red zone, we were scoring. We didn't have the stops that was constant field goals like we've had in previous years. We were actually moving when we were in red zone. So
the problem was they weren't getting into the red zone very often.
No, and that was the issue, middle of the field.
Right.
If we're going into overtime, you're going to have to go through that, and you have had issues all game. So on one side, you have, we can end this, and if it goes badly, it goes badly, but we fought. And the other one
if it goes badly, you not only lose, but I guess what you're saying is you lose, you fought, you feel like you left it all out on the table, and I would guarantee you the fan base would be, a lot of the fan base, not everybody, a lot of the newer age fans, sub 40, yourself included, would be like, hey man, We went down fighting.
You put your cards on the table.
Yeah. Whereas I'm much more of a, let's do what theoretically should give us the best chance to either extend or win a game.
And in my mind, that entire game felt conservative. It felt like they weren't on their, like, they didn't have their timing right. There was issues across the board with just completions. The running game was awful.
Exactly. Why you? That's why you shouldn't do what you're advocating for them to do.
A lot of what they were doing, what felt like very conservative plays. The moment that they were like, you know what, just we're going to give it to Terry and let him just do what he does and not play super duper conservative in that regard. Let him run down the middle of the field with 21 seconds left, knowing that we need to get more points.
Mm-hmm.
Like that was the moment that I was like, this is what Commanders should be doing. We have the skill and we have the people that if they can make those moves, we're capable.
All right. So I want to take you back to first quarter, fourth and two at the Dallas 32. This is another situation where at times Dan Quinn has gone for this, and at times Dan Quinn has backed off and been a little bit more conservative. He chose to be conservative here at fourth and two from the Dallas 32, 48 seconds left to go in the first quarter before the turnover, a 51-yard field goal, no good, bad. It was an ugly duck. Again, some people wanted him to go for it because he missed the field goal. If he would have made the field goal, I'm sure people would have been fine. But because he missed it, that caused people to go, oh, Dan Quinn should have gone for it on fourth and two. Now, in real like time, sitting there watching it, I didn't have a major problem because you have no Brian Brian Robinson is back in. I shouldn't say no Brian Robinson. Yeah, Brian Robinson back in.
Eckler's so still good at this point.
Eckler's still good at that point. The passing game has not gotten going at all, but it's only the second possession of the game. I think I have a bigger issue with DQ not going for it in that spot than kicking the extra point to tie up the game late.
And weirdly, I don't know how much I agree with that.
Well, it shouldn't surprise. I mean, now he made a 51-yarder later, and that DQ asked him, but that was at the other end of the field, right? So I don't know if wind was a factor or whatever. Here, fourth and two from the Dallas 32 in a game that's still 3-0 Washington at the point. I understand you're trying to like get points because you don't think their offense can keep up with you. So get it. But 51 off a kicker that's not known for having a booming leg and also who just missed two games is not an automatic. It is not. Now, he kicked a 41-yarder the previous series, but this is a 51-yarder. It's not a 42-yarder. I had a bigger issue with him not going for it on fourth and two there with Robinson back. Now, if Robinson was out still, I could at least say, well, I didn't have my number one running back. Now, I'm not saying Brian Robinson was healthy. He wasn't right even after he came back. He was valiant. He tried to come back. It was the first play of the game. He got twisted. He was down. He immediately came out. He only had 5 carries on the entire game, okay, and didn't play really at all in the second half. Maybe he had a snap, but I don't think he did. I know he didn't have a carry. To me, I have a bigger issue again. Like, if we're just comparing the two decisions, and we'll ask Jay this, comparing the two decisions, I would have rather Dan Quinn have gone for it, because here's also what happens when you go for a 51-yard field goal and you don't make it, for whatever the reason. The Cowboys then took over at the Dallas 41. Again, it's not... Let me repeat. It is not where the original line of scrimmage is, which is the Dallas 32. It advances to the spot of the kick. So you're giving Dallas an somewhat anemic offense. They weren't anemic yesterday. The ball at the Dallas 41 if you miss the kick. So you see where I'm getting at? So to me, like, I don't know. I'm normally okay, especially in today's day and age, where kickers kick longer field goals than they used to, but this guy ain't one of them. Seibert can kick 50-plus yarders. He has, and he did. But it's not like there's no question. It's not like he's known for a booming leg. It's like the old place kicker here, Kai Forbath, who wound up hating me. Oh, God, did he hate me? Because I had the audacity to be right and to criticize him when he would miss like 37-yard field goals routinely. The bottom line is Seibert, if you keep asking him to kick 50-yarders, you're going to lose probably more than you're going to win. If you balance out the scale of justice. And again, you're giving the Cowboys, who don't, not that they don't need any help, they need help, but you're giving a team that needs help 8 extra yards. Or 7, I mean, it's technically like 7.5 extra yards. You get the point.
And I think that's, honestly, that's the rub of all of this. Because before the show, I was talking with Toby, the youngest in charge, and... We were talking about how the game.
I hope a certain somebody didn't hear that because he is very. He gets very offended by that.
But we were talking about how the game just hurt, and a big portion of that was we saw Dallas as not a great team. They didn't play great. They didn't play very well at all. It was just we did nothing to stop them.
Correct. Which is why I think the defense deserves a little bit more blame than they're ultimately getting. I mean, the Schoonmaker touchdown was horrendous. That was a total blown coverage. I have no idea what they were doing on that particular play. Can we take a call and then double break before Jay? Or
yeah,
no?
Let's do that.
All right, let's do that. Let's get to Dominic in Tampa and get his thoughts here. What's up, Dom? How are you?
Chris, how you doing?
Good, Dom. What's going on?
Yeah, so obviously, you know, it's... It sucks, you know, having to lose like that. I will say this, you know, I agree with you. I believe that we are overachieving this year, but, you know, I'll take this over what we've had, you know, in the last 20 years any day of the week. I will say I still do believe that they're going to make the playoffs as a wild card team. I will get that out of the way there. But as far as yesterday goes, for me, I'm not even going to bring analytics and any of the numbers or anything like that into this, but I would have gone for it after the McLaurin touchdown solely based off of the turn of the tables. You know, Dallas was shocked. They couldn't believe what happened. So just based off of momentum alone is why I would have went for it. To try to take the lead and ultimately hopefully win the game, even though there was a few seconds left. That's number one. Number two, we're starting to see, in my opinion, we're starting to see that we are really still a lot. I'm not going to say a lot of pieces, but definitely a lot of pieces away from really, truly contending. I don't believe for one second that, you know, I think Adam Peters was wrong for not going out and getting a number two receiver. I think that still haunts us to this day.
Yeah.
And it's going to continue to haunt us until you know, he really finds a true number two, even a number one receiver. I love Terry McLaurin, Chris. Don't get me wrong. I love him. But I think to this day, and I've thought it for a while, he is a low-end one, top number two receiver, and he's playing like a one, and that's, you know, that's my opinion. But, you know, it's one of those things where, you know, you could go a lot of different directions with this call, but the biggest thing for me is I would have went for it on two, for the 2 points based off of just the momentum alone. I think they had it going for them. It was a play that, you know, shouldn't have never happened, but it did. And that's why I would have went for it. Nothing analytical at all about it.
Understood. Happy Thanksgiving, pal. Appreciate you. Good call, as always. And I understand that. I'm not trying to be a jerk. I'm not trying to make fun of anybody. I understand why you would want to go for it. There's reasons why you would want to go for it. I hope you can also understand why Dan Quinn, without making fun of, you know, him, because some people, like, you know, make fun of him for the hat backwards and call him Coach Bro and all this, you know, whatever. Why DQ didn't go for it. Why he immediately went for one. And you don't make that decision in the moment. You're thinking along, hey, if we score here, we're going for one. And here's why. And I guarantee you, and I don't think he said this. Maybe he did. I can't remember. The guy had just made a 51-yarder moments before. Again, bigger issue for me, early in the game, first quarter. We'll ask Jay Gruden his thoughts on those two decisions, what he would have done. Next on the Team 980 in the Odyssey app. Stay with us.